Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty Father and Mother, Giver of life and all good, it's a blessed privilege to stop our busy forward motion for a moment and realize that it's you who've called us together this evening, you who feed us with your word, and you who teach us what we need to know through the circumstances of our lives. Lord, let each of us come open-minded and open-hearted this evening, ready to receive what you would have us know, that these words might open for us and lead us into new and deeper understandings of the daily effects of our lives. Move in each of us, Lord, in an obvious and unmistakable way to make it clear and evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer.
Staying in that place of deep rest, we'll now rest with God and His Word. And again, we'll listen with the ear of the heart for just a word or a phrase that speaks to us this evening that stands out. On this, the 33rd week in ordinary time. A reading from the second book of Maccabees. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. Most admirable and worthy of everlasting remembrance was the mother, who saw her seven sons perish in a single day, yet bore it courageously because of her hope in the Lord. Filled with a noble spirit that stirred her womanly heart with manly courage, she exhorted each of them in the language of their ancestors with these words, "I do not know how you came into existence in my womb. It was not I who gave you the breath of life, nor was it I who set in order the elements of which each of you is composed. Therefore, since it is the Creator of the universe who shapes each man's beginning, as he brings about the origin of everything, he, in his mercy, will give you back both breath and life, because you now disregard yourselves for the sake of his law." Antiochus, suspecting insult in her words, thought he was being ridiculed. As the youngest brother was still alive, the king appealed to him not with mere words, but with promises on oath to make him rich and happy if he would abandon his ancestral customs, that he would make him his friend and entrust him with a high office. When the youth paid no attention at all to him, the king appealed to the mother, urging her to advise her boy to save his life. After he had urged her for a long time, she went through the motions of persuading her son. In derision of the cruel tyrant, she leaned over close to her son and said in their native language, "Son, have pity on me who carried you in my womb for 9 months, nursed you for 3 years, brought you up, educated and supported you to your present age. I beg you, child, to look at the heavens and the earth and see all that is in them. Then you will know that God did not make them out of existing things. And in the same way the human race came into existence. Do not be afraid of this executioner, but be worthy of your brothers and accept death, so that in the time of mercy I may receive you again with them." She scarcely finished speaking when the youth said, "What are you waiting for? I will not obey the king's command. I obey the command of the law given to our fathers through Moses. But you who have contrived every kind of affliction against the Hebrews will not escape the hands of God." The word of the Lord. Our psalm is 17. The response, "Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full." Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Hear, O Lord, a just suit. Attend to my outcry. Hearken to the prayer from lips without deceit. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. My steps have been steadfast on your paths. My feet have not faltered. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my word. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. But I in justice shall behold your face. On waking, I shall be content in your presence. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Alleluia, alleluia. I chose you from the world to go and bear fruit that will last, says the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins, and he told them, 'Engage in trade with these until I return.' His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, 'We do not want this man to be our king.' But when he returned after obtaining kingship, he had the servants called whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained from trading. The first came forward and said, 'Sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones.' He replied, 'Well done, good servant. You have been faithful over this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities.' Then the second came and reported, 'Your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more.' And to this servant he said, 'Too, you take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant.' He said to him, 'With your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest.' And to those standing by he said, 'Take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, 'Sir, he has 10 gold coins.' He replied, 'I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, whatever he has will be taken away. Now as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me." After he said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. This is the gospel of the Lord.
There are a lot of threads in that gospel foot reading. And I have a feeling that we've got two stories mashed together there by a scribe. And I'm only going to address part of that for that very reason. So you figure out why the king was going off someplace to be made a king. And while he was gone, they said, we don't want him to be a king. And then he came back and he was a king and he slew them all. So forget that. But let's go back to Maccabees. As a little Baptist person, we never had Maccabees, any Maccabees. Who wants to know anything about that? But I think it's an important historical moment in the progression of consciousness in human beings. They're told in the very beginning, go forth and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. So clearly in the creation of man, God wants something. It's not just for man alone that man has life. God wants something out of him. That's what the man who didn't sow but gathered and didn't lay down but picked up. God expects something from every creature. And so this growing, this fruitfulness, comes when you realize, okay, what's the point of my life? Why do we have humans? Because we don't know how we were knit together in our mother's womb. We don't have a clue about how we originated, about what we're really for. God gives us revelations from his point of view, and we get hints from the Holy Spirit during the ordinary moments of our lives. But ultimately, the revelation says that man was made for God, and that the purpose of human life is to glorify God. Catholics who may be here, who were raised on the Baltimore Catechism, know that first thing is, why does man exist? To know, love, and serve God. So this is the thread that I want to work with tonight. That in the Maccabees story, these are the Hasmonean kings, and they're Greek in their orientation. They've taken over everything. And they're starting to mess with the Jewish traditions. And there are a great many people who are following them. Hey, it is nice to relax. Who cares if we eat pork? Who cares if we, you know, and the law starts to get nibbled away. And without understanding the purpose of the law and the qualities that the law intends to empower human beings with, it might look like a bunch of silly rules. Don't eat pork. Well, who cares if I eat pork? It's not going to kill me. Yes, it is. It was treif. It was unclean because pork is filled with trichomonas. A parasite that gets into humans very easily and can kill quickly. So trichomonas was a big deal, and so many of the things that were treif or unclean were unclean not because it was some arbitrary thing, but because this tribe needed to survive. These 12 tribes needed to survive in order to anchor the current of God consciousness that is present in this room today, is rooted back in those times. And so values are what are being questioned in the Maccabees reading. The values of, are you going to conform to the trend of today? You know, they're starting to build a gymnasium and they're doing all these Greek things, aping Greek culture because it was kind of hip. And, you know, old state in the mud parental religion wasn't nearly so hip, so it seemed good. And there were a lot of people absorbing alien cultures, but they weren't anchoring the foundation stone or the root of the fruit of Abraham. We'd forgotten about that. And the Jews are a chosen people not because they're wonderful, because they have a destiny to deliver a certain God image to humanity. And they've got to stay on the mark to do that. So here we have a witnessing to values. The king wants everybody to have his way of being, and that includes eating pork. And if you won't do it, well, we've got to make you do it because kings want conformity. And of course, the king of the physical world, commerce or money, wants conformity too. We have all kinds of trends. I noticed the other day I saw trending now on an internet article or the news. Trending now. Or there was an ad in one of those giveaway magazines I look at to feel righteous. And it said, skin is trending now. Now, I don't know just what it meant, but it's obvious that the 20s were trending when they were the 20s. Everything's trending. And if you move toward what's trending and follow what's trending, you may not have a center. You may have got your values all mixed up and backwards so that by the time it comes time to cash the chips in, we've put nothing into ourselves. No life. So mom is encouraging the people, listen, we're infinite life. God loves us. We're God's people. Don't you worry about it. You put it down. And the king, thinking that power and offerings of friendship, and by the way, the word that they use in there is capital F friendship. I'll make you a friend of the king. That's how important this was for the king to punch a hole in the traditions so that they no longer held water. So that they no longer kept the focus, because the king was working for the scattering impulse, the scattering energy of life, that which draws things away from their centers. So now with this as a background, the mother is telling, look at the stars, look at the sky, look at your lives. We can't explain any of it. God gives us these lives, and it's up to us to stay true to what we were given, to stay true to our root. And so give up your life. Now, we don't know if this story actually happened this way or not, but when you see the number 7, you know it's a highly symbolic thing. They're talking about all away, complete. So she is giving away all that she bore, the fruit that she bore in her womb. She's not only giving away, she's encouraging it to take part in this despicable act. And she's saying, she's witnessing to the fact that secular power has no power over a person who has been converted, whose attention has been converted to valuing the inside prior, more than anything. So take my kiss, go ahead, because we're infinitely alive and we'll see each other again. So now with this in mind, that life is precious, life has a, we can let it go or we can hold on to it. Letting it go in service to God is obviously the theme of this reading from Maccabees. But now let's go forward to the king who invests some of his gold with 10 of his servants and goes away for a while. Comes back, said, what'd you get out of this? This guy, well, I made 10 talents. Or no, it's 10 gold coins. Good. You're head over 10 cities. So obviously the king saw increase in what he had given. Increase with what he freely gave to the 10 servants. He also wanted that to increase. Very happy when it did. Same thing with the guy with 5. He's good, well done, good and faithful servant here. I'm going to put you in charge of this next. And now we come to the one who's the most interesting to us. Because he's probably in charge of a lot of our lives. He's the one who just wraps up God's gift in a handkerchief so it can't be seen. And he just kind of holds on to it till it's time to give it back. Well, the golden coins are our lives. A human life, a precious human life. Your talent of gold, my talent of gold. We were sown into this world like seed, which Jesus uses in other examples too. Man is a seed, and he's meant to grow. And a seed is meant to grow and bear fruit, be fruitful and multiply. Well, what is fruit for God? Let's go back to Maccabees. It's making God the only thing valuable in our lives. Because it is through doing that that God can make us valuable. To him, it's our attention to God's presence, his action, and his wish for humanity that defines whether or not we're going to be put in charge of something that we like, obviously increase, or lose what little we have. Now, here's a word that I heard, and I can't find a source to say that's really good, Tim. You can use that. But it works really well for me, and it's what I call, and what I've learned to call, the law of increase through use. The law of increase through use says if you don't use something, like a muscle, it will atrophy, and it won't work anymore. But if you do use that muscle, it will not only not atrophy, it will grow larger and it grows stronger. So that which we make use of enlarges, gets bigger and fuller. Riverbeds that carry a whole lot of water, they get bigger and bigger and bigger the more water they carry. And riverbeds in which no water is flowing or less water is flowing silt up and become less productive. So life is all in the flow. Life is a series of exchanges. And this servant who held on to his life and wouldn't let go, but here it is back, was of no value to the king of the universe at all. He didn't increase the valuation of the investment. God invested a great deal in making a human being out of for you and me. Now, what have we given back? Have we followed the trends and given our center away because we were fascinated by trends or being fashionable? Or were we taking in the trends of fear, cultural trends of fear, and in the same way, losing this talent of gold, this golden gift that is the soul of a human being? By developing that soul, by investing what God gave us and making it grow for God's sake and for the sake of our fellow man, then we have a real relationship with possibility, with miraculous movements of the Spirit in us, and endless growth that goes on getting fuller and deeper and richer and fuller and deeper and richer. The tendency is just to hold on, to cover what God gave us by kind of putting it in the shadow and realize, well, it's a good life out here and I can go to the gym and I can watch TV and I can do all these things. Yes, yes, you have every right to do that, but is that what a human life is for? Does that bear fruit in love? And does it put God first, or is God an afterthought that we'll deal with that day when we have that last breath, when a breath goes out but doesn't come back in? Because the investment will not go on being hidden forever. The day comes when we have to choose. What are my value systems here? So for the Maccabees, the mother and her seven sons, the value systems were unquestionably, I must give myself to what has given my life to me. What is giving my life to me? For Jesus, it's real clear. He who would save his life will lose it. He who will lose his life for my sake will find it. Hanging on to my Timness, making Tim right, making Tim safe, making Tim secure, puts too much Tim in my opinion, in my awareness. There's no room for God anymore. When I give my awareness to God and look like the mother of the men said, look, this body, oh my goodness, this is extraordinary. Look, heavens, awareness, love of beauty. These human creatures are really amazing. If you just watch TV with it, I wonder if that's an investment that God's going to be glad he made. I guess only we and God know in our hearts. We got gold, treasure, but it's in earthen vessels. Let us not be confused as to the ownership. Amen. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.